And we know that the two doses of the vaccine offer very limited protection, if any. The three doses with a booster, they offer reasonable protection against hospitalization and deaths. Against deaths, I think very good. And less protection against infection. Now, we are working on a new version of our vaccine, the 1.1, let me put it that way, that will cover Omicron as well. And of course, we are waiting to have the final results. The vaccine will be ready in March.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. This is a powerful program because we're going to be sharing with you the latest on health and healing and good news. If you know anyone who has a glioblastoma, that's a very lethal cancer of the brain, because I've got a college, Medical College of Georgia, report about what can help that. But we have a lot more too, including more information about why women should breastfeed, not just for their developing child, but for themselves. We have the latest on health and healing. But then I'm going to spend more time on what I promised at the beginning of this new year, and that was discussing the society we live in, many of its problems, and taking a deeper dive into some of the underlying causes and what we can do about it. We have to know the problem in order to find the solution. That's coming at us today. Also, there's a report from Gravitas out of India. It's one of the finest news reporting programs in the world, in my opinion. And they've taken a look at who really controls your health. And they've come up with some interesting statistics and evidence. I reviewed it. I concur. It is Big Pharma. But listen to the details and listen to how pharma controls everything involving health, including capturing agencies like the FDA, the CDC, the World Health Organization, U.S. Public Health Service. Yeah, they control it all. That's not good for any of us. So we have a lot to share, and then at the end of the program, I'm setting time aside because of the importance of what I'm sharing today for you to call in and share your points of view. Please write down the number. It's 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. After the opening music of our program today, you heard a person say, and saw him saying that, well, the first two vaccines didn't do much or anything, his words, but the booster can help prevent you from hospitalization and maybe death, but it's the new one coming out in March, the fourth vaccine, that we believe will make a difference. Now just stop for a moment. Consider what he just said. He, the head of Pfizer, the top person, just came out and said the first two, they didn't do anything. And yet it's still being promoted. It's still being promoted to those who've chosen, for whatever reason, not to vaccinate. Get those two. All right, what do we know up to this point that we can say for certain? The head of the company making the vaccines is telling you they didn't work. All right, that's him. Now, that's the top person because he's the manufacturer and distributor, and he is the one who provides the evidence of its safety and efficacy to the government, to the FDA. But then they want all that information kept secret from us, the actual outcome of the research, which will take at least another 2 years to finish the study. And by the way, even in pets, many of the vaccines for pets will frequently take up to 7 to 10 years. In humans, 7 to 10 years. This is under a year. We were the guinea pigs. We were the human animals. And now, whatever they're seeing, whatever evidence they have, they don't want us to know. First, it was 55 years. Then it was 76 years. Well, who's going to be alive in 76 years? Very few people who are alive today who've gotten the vaccine. You'd be over 100 years of age. So what's behind all this? And then we're finding out that get the vaccine and you'll be safe. You won't get the infection. The President of the United States said that. Now we see that the people most likely to get the COVID and its variants are the people who are vaccinated. Most of the people entering hospital are people who have been fully vaccinated. And we have good evidence on that, including out of Israel and out of other countries, Norway, etc. And then we were told to get the PCR test, and you saw all those long lines of people lined up to get the PCR test. Well, the CDC just recommended to the FDA, we're not going to use it anymore. It wasn't accurate. And 2 weeks ago, it ceased being authorized, December 31st. All right? So what about all the people were told you're positive? What about the New York Times and all the other papers saying this number of cases showing the graphs of charts going up while we had 10,000, 100,000 people who were positive? All false, or the majority false. We were supposed to do an amplification of the PCR at about 20 to 23 repetitions. We were doing it at an average of 42 to 45 repetitions, meaning that they were all false. False negative or false positive. So this is what we can absolutely say. A lot of the deaths attributed to COVID were from other comorbidities. And we found that out in the high death rate initially in Europe, in Italy first. The vast majority of those people were not dying of COVID. They were dying of heart disease, cancers, in hospice care, diabetes, morbid obesity, dementia. They were in nursing homes. They were there to die. And yet that became the mathematical model of, look at all these people dying over there. We're going to do the same thing here. It wasn't true. All the major epidemiologists in the world now say that the mathematical model from the college, Imperial College in England, in London, was false. I mean, terribly wrong, off by a huge number. They were expecting 2.2 million dead in the United States. From COVID alone, about 6 to 7%. Not 2.2 million, and not the 800,000 we're approaching at this moment. The majority of those were from other comorbidities. None dying from COVID by itself. In children, they were dying of comorbidities, leukemia, and obesity and heart disease. We have more children dying now because of the, and having really serious reactions to the vaccine. So children who are not at risk are now at risk from the vaccine. Seniors who had terrible immune systems getting the vaccine are now succumbing to hyperimmune responses. So you see, all the things we were told are now scientifically, not politically, not ideologically, not financially, just good science from everywhere. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of studies are showing everything we were told are wrong. So I want you to take that clip from my show today, that little 30-second clip where he says little or no benefit from the first two vaccines, and yet they're still promoting them. This is all about power. Just want to share that with you. Now, something better to talk about in this moment, because we seem to be a nation in cognitive disconnect, even when we're shown the truth, we say, shrug our shoulders and say, okay, what do you want me to do next? My commentary will address that. But good news from the Medical College of Georgia. They have found that by inhaling CBD oil, it can shrink the size of the highly aggressive, lethal brain tumor glioblastoma in an animal model by reducing the essential support of the microenvironment. So that's important. That could save a lot of lives. So just want to give you the latest, another piece of the puzzle. I remember doing some of my very first broadcasts on the radio. And I had on a Dr. Gail Brewer, and who advocated breastfeeding. I also had on Dr. Robert Mendelson, a major physician, pediatrician, who advocated breastfeeding. and a few others. And why? Because they said it would give the babies all of the immune modulating nutrients that they needed, the good bacteria. And I remember being told by a doctor, a pediatrician, head of the Pediatrician Society in Oregon, Dr. Janice Keller Phelps, that when a mother kisses the baby, on the baby's lips, the mother's taking in a little bit of saliva, almost imperceptible, but then her own body goes to work manufacturing any kind of antibody response that's necessary to what's on the baby. That goes then into the breast milk, and then the mother's breast milk becomes the natural immune modulating vaccine to the baby. And that's the way it works. That's also true of animals as well. Watch how often mothers will lick the baby's faces. Horses, cows. I've been around all these animals. Whole life of rescuing and bringing back to health through love and kindness and good nutrition. Over 5,000 animals and counting, and they all do this. It's nature's way of enhancing survival by understanding something we have not fully comprehended or appreciated, natural immunity. So here's the latest, and this is from the University of Innsbruck, which is in Austria. Women who breastfeed were less likely to develop heart disease or stroke or die from cardiovascular disease than women who did not breastfeed. That's according to a meta-analysis, meaning many different studies. And so this was published in the Journal of the American Heart Association, most prestigious journal in its field. And so just understand, when you breastfeed, and I'm assuming that you are also, if you listen to this program, I'm pretty confident that you're on a healthy diet. You're taking omega-3 fatty acids and vitamin C and vitamin D, magnesium and zinc and selenium and the B complex and calcium to help yourself, but also you're also putting those nutrients, micro and macronutrients, into the breast milk as well. So if you're breastfeeding, you're doing a big favor to yourself. They looked at 8 studies conducted in Australia, China, Norway, and Japan, and the United States. And the review included looking at 1.2 million women, average age was 25, when they gave their birth. And they analyzed the relationship between breastfeeding and the mother's individual cardiovascular risk. And they found that 82% of the women reported they had breastfed at some time, compared to the women who had never breastfed, just gave formula. And they found that there was a substantial reduction in the risk of developing cardiovascular disease. But then they followed these women for 10 years. And they found that the women who breastfed at some time in their life had a 14% less likelihood to develop coronary heart disease, 12% less likely to suffer strokes, and wow, 17% less likely to die from cardiovascular disease. And women who breastfed for 12 months or longer, I recommend 2 years, during their lifetime, appeared to be less likely to develop cardiovascular disease than women who did not breastfeed. So, good news, saving lives, saving women's lives. Also from Vanderbilt University comes a study about plant-based probiotics can inhibit pneumonia-causing bacteria. That's important. By the way, that's why in the preventative as well as the therapeutic protocols and the kits that everyone should have at home, and by the way, the preventative protocol you take daily, except for ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, hydroxychloroquine once a week, and ivermectin every 3 days at lower doses, like 3 milligrams. But for therapeutics, and everyone should have it, and everyone should have a list of doctors, at least 3 doctors, who if you get sick, you can call them and they can help you, guide you through a medical protocol. And these are doctors who have supported the frontline doctors and the thousands upon tens of thousands of doctors now sharing the same information, because now all over the world, the top medical doctor in Tokyo started saying, no, we're going to use ivermectin. And the moment he began to advocate using ivermectin and all the doctors in Tokyo began to use ivermectin, the high spike COVID just disappeared. The incidence of COVID infection and death from COVID flatlined. That was also true in other countries as well. And the evidence is there, and it's been reviewed. And we've published study after study. Go to GaryNall.com, download my articles on COVID, and see the hardcore peer review evidence. Nothing political, nothing ideological, no opinionating, no guessing. This is facts, where they've used ivermectin in the largest state. The latest study I saw was 247 million people, the most populous state in the world. And they went from one of the highest rates of infection way up here and death, flatlined, literally COVID-free. The same is true in Peru, a very popular state at the bottom of Mexico, etc. So word's getting out. Individual doctors are intervening early, and that's good news. So now what we have is we have the probiotics, but in that kit as a list of different antibiotics. And what are the antibiotics? Now, normally I would be opposed to antibiotics, but if you should develop COVID, then also look at the different types of antibiotic. Azithromycin, for example, that you take because that helps with bacterial infections in the lungs and could help save your life. So that's important. And also, we published a list of all the medications, FDA-approved, off-label medications used by billions of people throughout the decades, and they're all there, and so you'll have them. Have this list. Have a list of doctors. Have everything you need. And yet, my own friends, my own close friends did none of the above. Totally unprepared. Totally unprepared. And then at the last moment, one woman, they were absolutely a day or two away from death, then I get the call. All right. And then I do what I can to help them, and it saves their life, and they get out of intensive care. They don't have to take the ventilator. You think they'd learn anything? What do you want to bet that none of these people learn anything? Because it's a deeper problem. I was so frustrated by the fact that I've accepted none of my family will do anything right. It's just not possible. But my friends don't do anything right, with only two exceptions. Of all my friends, I was just thinking this morning, my friends who died, who didn't have to die. And I sat with them and said, do you want to live a longer life? Of course I want to live a longer life. Will you at least consider doing the following? Well, make up a list. I made up a list, typed it out, gave it to them. Even took, I remember once, it was, for some reason, there was a parade. I couldn't get a cab to go across from the west side where I lived to the east side. So I just took two big bags, shopping bags, filled it with all the right things they needed for their health, and walked across Central Park, walked down to 67th Street between Fifth Avenue and Madison, and there gave them to my friend and went over every one. Later, when he got sick, and his personal assistant called me saying, oh, you know, Bob's sick. Well, I gave him. He never opened. What do you mean? Well, he handed me the bags, and they've been in my office ever since. 6 months. 6 months, he never took a single thing, and now he's sick with cancer. And I gave him all these anti-cancer items, yeah. So trust me, when I say from my personal experience, maybe your experience is different, maybe everyone in your life, the people you love and the people you appreciate, follow your advice. No one in my life ever follows my advice, right? Until they're near death, or until it's too late. Wow. And so this morning I got up 3 o'clock and I just wrote a commentary on it. I'll share that commentary coming up in this series. I said I'm going to load up the first week. Well, it's going to go a little longer. Every day I'm going to do an essay. If you find these essays to be of value, if you find them to be accurate or mirror anything in your own life, if they open a door of reason and understanding, please share them with other people. because a lot of people are going to go right forward with what they're told to do, even when it's against their best interest. It can actually undermine their health and freedoms, and these might allow them to stop first to have a second opinion about what's going on in the world, if you find them reasonable. If you don't, then don't do it. But we just have word of mouth now. In any case, getting back to what I was saying about Vanderbilt University, a probiotic found in foods like yogurt and even in soups has been found to inhibit the development of a pathogen that causes middle ear infections in children and pneumonia. The bacteria type is primarily found in the human gut, the nose, and the mouth. And studies revealed it could inhibit Streptococcus pneumonia and infections of bacterial nature, and that could save someone's life or stop an infection. So here's what I suggest. Start making yourself some miso mushroom soup using shiitake and mushrooms, or even white button mushrooms are good. By the way, most people, when you're eating in a restaurant, most restaurants do not really clean the mushrooms. They'll brush them. Yeah, fine. That doesn't clean diddly squat, just larger pieces. You know, that's like having a bowel movement and taking one swipe of toilet paper. You think you're clean? You're not clean. You know, you could kill an elephant with your bacteria. No, you've got to clean, soap, water, thorough, and then rinse. With mushrooms, what I do is this. I spray a veggie wash on the top of the mushroom. I then take a sponge and I scrub it down, rinse it, and then press between my palms, press hard, press off all the moisture. Then I take those mushrooms, I spray some oil. I generally use a grapeseed oil on them, and then I'll put some seasonings on them, whatever seasonings you like, you can put on. And then you put them in an oven at about 120 degrees, which is still keeping all the nutrients, nothing is destroyed. I leave them in there for about 20 minutes. You take them out, and they're more crisp, and because the last of the moisture has been dried out. But then the flavor is just really good. And then you slice them. You can put them in a salad. You can put them in a rice dish. Then put your olive oil on and any other seasonings you want. Just an idea. But a mushroom miso soup is really good for reestablishing the healthy bacteria that you want in your gut and that helps your immune system. But you can also take some of the sodium-free sauerkrauts. And I like to take a sauerkraut that is sodium-free, and then I'll take some juice that I make fresh from lemons, and then I scrape the skin of the lemon, because that's got limonene, which is a very powerful anti-cancer agent in the skin of the lemon. So I squeeze the juice out, and then I scrape the skin off, all right? And that I use also, and with the sauerkraut, I blend the two together. So then I have a lemony sauerkraut, and you can add any spice additionally in that you want. But that's another way of getting it in, have sauerkraut salads, and with low sodium, but great fermentation, it's terrific. And then if you want a really good probiotic drink in the morning, take beets or beet juice and add the water from the sauerkraut, sodium free. So I've got two things going on. I'm creating more nitric oxide, which improves the blood flow through my body. That lessens an opportunity of stroke. It's also, I put pomegranate concentrate in there. It helps heal the arteries and the veins. That's good. So you don't get those breaking off or building up, which can impact high blood pressure and stroke. So I can put, again, I'll make it simple, half a glass of either cabbage juice or sauerkraut. Sauerkraut's better. I then take another half of the glass, let's say 16 ounces. I make half of that with pomegranate and also beets. You blend them all together. Now you talk about a super, super healthy beverage in the morning to help your gut and hence help your inflammation by turning it down and helping with irritable bowel syndrome and diverticulitis and colitis and spastic colon. You're flooding the body with protective probiotic bacteria that will help you in your immune boosting needs. All right, simple. And also from the University of Western Australia, the researchers have found that engagement in the arts of an enjoyment and entertainment as a hobby for 2 or more hours a week is associated with really improving your mental well-being. So that's important. This was published in the British Medical Journal of Public Health. And it's the first internationally recognized study to show the relationship between mental well-being and arts engagement in the general population. And by the way, at every one of my anti-aging retreats, we bring in John Q, an outstanding, one of America's finest, most respected fine artist, graphic artist. Also Elaine Ryan, another outstanding, and when she's available, one of America's most respected senior artist, and someone that you may not have heard of. Her name is Susan Kreil. She's had museums exhibit her art, and I knew her brother. I knew her brother before I knew her. He was a senior producer at 60 Minutes and called me in to see about doing a 60 Minute special on my work with Lawrence Burton on cancer therapies at work that were prevented from getting the light of day. And had it not been for him, I wouldn't have met Don Hewlett, the senior producer. They wouldn't have done the special, but they did. And it was very successful. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to share with you an essay. If you find it of value, please share it with others. I'm Gary Nall. If you find what I'm about to share in this essay important, please share it with others. It's entitled Transcending the Delusions of Institutional Control with Richard Gale myself. It was in his 1938 song, Scottsboro Boys, blues artist Lead Belly warned us to remain alert. Stay woke, he said, as we pass through unfriendly and prejudiced lands and territories. He advised everyone to be a little careful. Lead Belly sang about staying awoke, keep your eyes open. Well, we need to become streetwise by critically evaluating everything, however the present woke generations appear to have entered a coma stage. The most recent incarnation of wokeness is not an awakening of either consciousness or conscientiousness that respects the sacredness of life, of humans, all humans, and the animal and plant kingdoms. It is steered away from its early origins within the black community when it was used to refer to a social and political awareness for racial and social injustices being dealt with. The first modern use of the term woke goes back to a 1962 New York Times article by the black author William Melvin Kelly in referring to being, well-informed, up-to-date. To be woke requires critical thought and discernment. It is more in common with an innate metacognitive knowing to distinguish between rightness and wrongness, that which is fair and that which is fraudulent. Now the term has been adopted and misappropriated by two entire generations, regardless of race, and politicized with almost an ontological unease to conquer and divide. Hence, to be woke is actually today to be anti-woke. Throughout human history, hierarchical power has been abused to control those who are subject and depended upon that power, such as the rule of kings and emperors and authoritarian tyrants. In addition, to meet our daily needs and to secure financial ease, there are landlords, merchants, and bankers. In all of these power relationships, equity is always on the side of those who hold power. At this moment, our nation has reached an impasse where only a tiny group of individuals control and govern the lives of the many. The Canadian philosopher Marshall McLuhan wrote, "In a culture like ours, long accustomed to splitting and dividing all things as a means of control, it is sometimes a bit of a shock to be reminded that, in operational and practical fact, the medium is the message." He's suggesting that the masses, we the people, have the tendency to focus on what is most obvious and consequently miss or ignore the deeper and more subtle changes unfolding over a period of time. In other words, what may seem to be a correct and just on the surface may eventually bring forth deleterious or unintended negative consequences. I'll give you a large macro example. We are bringing, so said Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, peace and security and democracy to Libya, to Syria. No, you brought death on a massive scale. And yet, you took your bows. You used that as your political advantage. So you see, don't just listen to what is being said or proffered. Look at the results. McCollum wrote long before the internet. Today, presidential campaigns and federal laws, public health policies, the mainstream media and corporate entertainment, a lot of celebrities, are the conduits of how we define ourselves. When we look in a mirror, we see them and try then to Photoshop the best of what we see or think is the best of what we see of another person to emulate them. And that's why, for example, the Kardashians are billionaires. What have they actually contributed to make it a better world, or better define our place in this world? Nothing. It's all about the selfie. It's all about them. And think of all the people who have so little confidence in the completeness of themselves that they want to mirror these celebrities, or the athletes, or the politicians, or the billionaires. They also define and set the boundaries for the dogmatic beliefs we ultimately identify with. But all of these narratives are controlled by a handful of powerful players. The media, seven major media players. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the Business Roundtable, and Davos. Yeah, altogether you're talking about more or less around 25 to 30,000 corporations and individuals controlling most of what goes on in this planet. These are real power players. Also including the social media platforms like Google and Facebook and YouTube and Wikipedia. Succumbing to the siren's call of this illusion is being woke with closed eyes. There's a saying that if you do not know the product being advertised, you are the product. And this is certainly true for how millions of Americans are persuaded to purchase junk, things they do not need, but are informed that you must have them, even when they're financially unable to make these purchases, they do it on credit. I remember once being at a very big television program overnight, and I was there overnight because in the morning I had set some records on how many books were sold. I believe it was more or less 17,000 hardback books I saw of Get Healthy Now, or no, The Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing, in a matter of like 11 or 10 minutes, something like that. So they asked me to come back throughout the day, and I did. I just stayed there. But what really impressed me in an odd way was at nighttime, at 2 o'clock in the morning, when I was about to go on again, I walked into this gigantic cavernous room where all these little cubicles, where all these people who were taking orders were. And my pitch for the book was only about, I think, 13 or 14 minutes, but the phones were blasting off the hooks. So I stopped and talked with this one gentleman, and I said, "Who in the world is calling at 2 o'clock in the morning?" And he said, "Oh," he said, "well, it's not what you think. A lot of these people call and they'll ask for a particular phone operator, order taker, and they want to talk to you. And we're told we can only spend a certain amount of time taking an order. But then again, about 30% of the things that are ordered are returned within 30 days. And they just keep doing this." I said, "Why?" He's, "Because they're lonely and they have no one else to talk with at that hour, so they call us." And I thought, we're not dealing with this problem. We're not dealing with the problem of separation and loneliness. And yet these people think that someone taking their order over one of these networks is their friend. That's how detached we become from what is authentic in our own lives. So our personal reality is thereby reduced to millions of bits of algorithmic data that know more about us than we frequently know about ourselves. We're sold on the promises of 5G technology, despite the media never once mentioning its serious dangers to health and to the environment of animals and humans as well. And also remember, it is the New York Times that is one of the leading, not just advertisers of it, but sponsors of it, promoters of it. But let's do this. Let's put it to the test. Why don't you start Googling major media exposing the dangers of 5G? I've done 16 articles on it, over 50 broadcasts. They've done zero. Are they unaware? Do they not have the resource? Oh, they have highly educated people who are fully connected and can find the science on anything in a heartbeat. It is by choice they choose not to share this information with you, because if they did, you would not want to be connected to 5G, 4G, 3G, 2G, or 1G. You wouldn't even want a cell phone if you saw how the raw materials for that cell phone are procured by slave labor. So understand something. What we condemned, and you can consider it right or wrong, of taking down the statues of those who supported slavery, I certainly have been opposed to every form of slavery. Those very same people today are using technology or wearing running shoes or wearing outfits that are made by slave labor today. Is there an irony there? Not with the woke, because they are anti-woke. Woke. They don't want to look for the truth. They just want to hear what is right from a highly politicized point of view. They are ideologues, hence they're cultists. The risks of genetically modified foods and vaccination are censored from all public discourse. Federal agencies that begin small, always to be temporary, but never are temporary, like Homeland Security, become permanent and unstoppable leviathans that encroach into every corner of our lives. At this moment, we're being instructed that our sole attention should be to get our COVID-19 vaccines and boosters so life can return to normal. And we're told from the very beginning it's 95% effective. And if you get it, you won't then have to limit yourself, because you will not get the virus. All lies. You heard, you saw the head of the largest COVID vaccine maker just at the beginning of this program tell you, and very kind of flippantly, "Oh, well, the first and second vaccines, you know, they didn't do much or nothing. And the third one would help you prove it." But think of all the people who are now suffering from side effects. We're talking into the multiple millions in the United States and around the world, and all the people who've died, which is in the hundreds of thousands, go from anywhere on a scale of 160,000 dead, that's a very conservative, up to 600,000 to 700,000 dead, that's more realistic in the United States, based upon only 1% of adverse effects being reported. And yet the media will not tell you that, not even discuss it, not have an open debate on it. They'll just propagate the whole idea that you must get it, even when they're telling us it doesn't work. Get the PCR test, we were told. And yet it was never meant for that. I should know, because up on the internet is an hour and 54-minute interview with the developer, Carrie Mullis, a personal friend who won the Nobel Prize for discovering the PCR. And in it, you will see him attacking Fauci. He said, this man, he knows nothing about science, and yet he is considered the world's scientist. And we've exposed him repeatedly. A new documentary on Fauci and Gallo and others who control the war on AIDS showed that they were causing unnecessary death by restricting the research to vaccines and one antiviral. And that antiviral killed at least 300,000 otherwise HIV positive, healthy, asymptomatic people. And that was AZT. I brought on this program the person who oversaw the actual clinical study. Her name was Lynn Nesbitt. She had about 24-inch stack of papers she dropped on my desk, and she said, the entire AZT is a fraud, and I have the proof. I am here. And I brought her on my radio program. I filmed her, and yet it did nothing, because the media didn't want to hear that truth. I cured people, cured them, proved it. Tony Brown proved it. Doug Henderson, one of the leading African-American lawyer and journalist for the Amsterdam News and other publications, proved it. Bill McCurry at Channel 5, multi-Emmy award-winning reporter, proved it, because they validated everything. Bill Tatum, the publisher of the Amsterdam News, was so impressed with the results, speaking night after night with the actual people at the Tri-State Healing Center, with their permission, seeing their records, going over with the medical staff, all of the blood chemistries, that he rented the Apollo Theater for, it was supposed to be for a week. I wasn't told this, and I just showed up for a lecture, and it was standing room only. And in the audience, before I spoke, he invited African-American physicians using my protocol to come up and talk about their success as well. Not a single word of any of this in the media. Not one word. I brought scientists from Japan and China, from Italy and France and the United States together. 12 of the world's leading scientists treating AIDS and AIDS conditions and HIV with natural approaches. All successful. We did it at the largest church I could find outside of St. John the Divine, and we had 1,700 people fill it. We have videos of it. You see the people, you see the speakers. Not a word in the media about this positiveness, because it was labeled AIDS is not a death sentence, and it was not a death sentence. You wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know it then, that we were curing people, 1,200 people. Not a single one died. They all got well. 18 completely reversed their status because they were on an advanced protocol. That's the world we live in. So be very conscientious of who you trust, because your life could be balanced between, is it real or not real? Is it just about money and power and control? Or is it about really having the evidence that should set me free to make a more informed and intelligent choice? So just remember, hidden beneath all of their messages is a very sophisticated effort to bypass and trash essential regulatory protective measures to assure the safety of these genetic products. And we found this out when Robert Kennedy and others sued Monsanto and other makers of genetically modified materials and found all the stuff that they were hiding from the public. Did anyone go to jail? No. They paid a fine, and that's it. Now that all world governments' health policies have utterly failed to contain the spread of SARS variants, such as Delta and Omicron, more and more doctors and medical experts around the world are coming forth to say that we have been deceptively misled by the Ministry of Truth, Anthony Fauci's and Bill Gates's of the world, yet their voices are being canceled and censored by Silicon Valley, those who would challenge Fauci and Gates and others. All social media are canceling and attacking professors speaking against the student demands for personal entitlement, and the anti-woke white fragility diatribe that condemns genetic whiteness as racist. Students who prefer college to be sanitized, wiped clean of any critical thought, make no statement that challenges me to think. I want a pleasant environment, non-intrusive and safe, filled with teddy bears and psychologists. Yes, and I want this next door to drug their episodes of existential angst and the purposelessness in life. As the pandemic hijacks our attention, global warming increases, over 20% of Americans will go to sleep hungry tonight. Those with cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and dementia are told to just hang on a bit longer. A blockbuster pharmaceutical cure is just around the corner. But for decades, this carrot has been dangled before us and has yet to come to fruition. We are involved in a medical Vietnam. Everything today is its opposite. The blue and red pills have been pulverized together. Only a purple pill laced with strychnine of lies and half-truths is offered to an unduly legislative system run by technocrats and their private financial handlers. Woke and anti-woke are indistinguishable since both are born from similarly delusional worldviews divorced from reality, neither being capable of observing the preciousness and fragility of human life. It is only the rare authentic progressive who is able to transcend this divide and can wisely observe the battlefields orchestrated by politically motivated ideologues, aristocrats, and the media. As the U.S. spins further into a controlled dystopia, it is difficult to imagine that this trajectory towards social decay can be easily reversed. Arthur Miller said, about an era can be said to end when its basic illusions are exhausted. Therefore, we still have a long way to go, and it may require the full system failure at all economic and social levels before a viable, realistic effort can restore what has been lost from the ethical wasteland left in its wake. Remember, it took Rome several centuries to collapse, but we're on course to approach this feat within a decade. To remain optimistic, therefore, requires a rejection of the dominant social Darwinism and the specter of what Thomas Huxley called the church scientific that now informs both parties and that has shackled us to a fatalist purgatory, or worse, Dante's hells of lust, gluttony, and greed, the evangelical Christian right, and their concept, counter-revolutionary reactive response, is equally a contributor to the dumbing down of the nation's sanity with fairy tales of superstition. Our indoctrination into scientific materialism, our surrendering our autonomy and divine freedoms to political and corporate regimes, and the clashes over political correctness that disempower us from believing we can change our conditions has created a sense of hopelessness in life and growing existential despair, what I call the big empty. The consequences, particularly for the younger generations, have been an outburst of psychological maladies, depression, anxiety, and a tremendous increase in suicide rates. It is also contributing to the unbridled frenzy of hatred across the internet. Ideological beliefs become dogmas based upon mental afflictions, which in turn drive our emotions, fears, and hatreds and reactions. No wonder pessimism is on the rise and optimism is in decline. Only a personal encounter with a deeper purpose, connecting with that which is spiritual, and hence the real meaning of life, which cuts through the tyranny of our false sense of self or ego, can ultimately guide us to rise above the turmoil and crisis facing us. This does not imply a detached disinterest, an ascetic renunciation from the plights of our neighbors and humanity, but it does demand an introspective inquiry into ourselves to discover authentic kindness, compassion, empathy, and a deep connection with others, so authentic, so well connected to their well-being, and genuine happiness can then emerge from that. It is a commitment to finding our inner connection, in fact, our interdependence with others in the spirit of selflessness and service. So if modern American society relies solely upon mental and emotional distraction to survive the reality shows, the political circus, clearly there's no hope for constructive solutions to emerge to comfort us in our needs, nor is there anything that will constructively confront climate change, racism, identity politics, inequality, etc. Nor will society evolve beyond that of primates if we can only function from our reptilian and limbic brains. Obviously, not everyone will discover the same purpose in life, in their quest for meaning. It is an individual quest that is largely entwined with each of our unique gifts and skills and passions, dreams and talents that we have brought into this incarnation. Those who disagree that one can discover meaning in life are the dogmatists of materialism and whose advice should be shunned. Logic and reason alone will not satisfy this discovery, although developing skills in critical thought and discernment is more often than not necessary. It is only the rare person who has immediate intuitive knowledge about herself and the world around her. For the remainder of us, we need to educate ourselves to have a roadmap, develop a discerning eye, and engage in deep introspection into ourselves to find what is our real purpose in life. It is an individual journey that begins deep within ourselves and ends by embracing others and community despite differences. However, this is not an exercise in reason, but a direct experience within the depths of ourselves. When we touch on that place that can only be reached by subjective introspection, new horizons of opportunities and possibilities open up. In conclusion, then we can understand the words of the great jazz artist John Coltrane. He knew that there are bad forces, forces that bring suffering to others and misery to the world. But he said, I want to be the opposite force. I want to be the force which is truly good. In honoring our highest goodness, genuine well-being and happiness is found, and only then can our illusions and dogmatic beliefs be surrendered. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'm going to offer it today. Last time I saw this was in galleys. I'm going to make the cancer package together because I'm seeing an enormous increase in cancer. I believe a lot of it due to stress. I also believe a lot of it due to poor diet, especially when people were at home, not going to farmers markets, not buying healthy foods, not taking their time to eat the cruciferous vegetables. And as a result, we're suffering on multiple levels. When you're overweight, you're more susceptible to cancer. When you're stressed, far more susceptible to cancer. When you're not exercising, far more likely to have cancer. So we're not paying attention, and we should. And so here's the package, very interesting. I've never offered this before. Overcoming Cancer, the new book, and the 5 most powerful tools. I'll go through it in a moment. Plus, the award-winning documentary, Preventing and Reversing Cancer Naturally. It's a long 2-DVD set. And plus, Power Foods, the DVD, showing you what are the best foods, how to make them. And let me just go through the cancer, since I had the book right in my hands here. It goes into the politics of cancer and the failed war on cancer over the last 50 years. And then it goes into the mainstream's idea of how to prevent or detect cancer. I think it's more harmful than good. And then the big money behind conventional treatments and the tiny little results they're getting. And that's just documented. But then I look at all the alternative approaches, and I've been all over the world. I've actually gone to the clinics. I've reviewed the doctors, the patient's records. I've spoken with patients all over the world, and then I followed them for 5 years. And those that really had merit, those are the only ones I wrote about. Also, another chapter, harmful foods that are toxic and can cause cancer. Adopt a nutritional plant-based diet, alkaline foods, and also other cancer-fighting foods. Unless antioxidants, which specific antioxidants? And then whole body practices. And I go through the eclectic triphatics medical system, or what is called the ETMS. You probably haven't heard of it. And also the anti-neoplastin therapies and ozone therapies. I go through all this, plus then I give you recipes, whole delicious anti-cancer menu. And then I have over 360 mainstream peer-review footnotes supporting this. Let me just give you one little section here. And I know a lot of you like to get the new books when they come out. This is just the chapter 3 on enlist antioxidants, dietary supplements. Now, some of you would understand, but alpha-lipoic acid, I explain what it does. I explain what beta-carotene does, and the carotenoids, flavonoids, and selenium, vitamin K, milk thistle, glutathione peroxidase, superoxide dismutase and catalase, grapeseed extract, DMSO, dimethyl sulfoxide, and also glutamine. Who knew that these were anti-cancer? But they are. But then I also get into DHEA, melatonin, all the enzymes, conjugated linoleic acid, modified citrus pectin, lactoferrin, and N-acetylcysteine, olive leaf extract, and shark liver oil, resveratrol, bindweed, chromium, genistein, and more. And then all the herbs. Now, you know that aloe vera is good against cancer, but theanine, linatine, essiac, berberine, feverfew, all these things are in here. So this is a really important book. All right? I just got my copy today, and I go through dozens and dozens of other things that you need to know about. It's called Overcoming Cancer. This is the only place to get it, by the way. Can't buy it anywhere. The 5 Most Powerful Tools for Fighting Cancer. That I'm happy to have in my hands today. By the way, I did a book specially in Spanish for the people who are diabetic, and I'll be making that available next week. I don't have it in my hand. When I get it in my hand, I'll offer it. But then you get this wonderful 2-part video, and in this video you get the best of the best. I'm talking about people who are treating cancer, the frontline doctors, Dr. Richard Salazzo, he's an MD, Dr. Moshe Dekel, Dr. Henry Grayson, Sylvia Benjansky, Henry Dreher. I've got all these people and a lot more. So all these are non-toxic, non-invasive therapies. They're the best of the best. All right? And it's then the power foods. You're going to get into all the different foods that are able to detoxify the body, because you got to detoxify if you want to get rid of the cancer. Then you got to energize, superoxidize. So all this is here for you. So how do you get this wonderful package? And the whole package, by the way, is only $78. That's it. You're saving $55. You're getting a 40% discount. So here's how you get the Overcoming and Optimizing Special. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Now, the videos I got plenty of, but I don't have a lot of the book, from what I understand, from New York. So I don't know how long the book will last, but when we're out of them, we'll take the special down. But get your copy now. Overcoming Cancer, the 5 Most Powerful Tools for Fighting Cancer. I just got it for the first time in my hands just an hour ago. I'm happy to see it. It adds to the tools that we use to help us in our journey through health. Call 877-627-5065 because you care enough about your life. And if you don't have cancer, great, because what you do in here also prevents it. All right, the videos, the book, the information, it's loaded. You won't find, in my opinion, any other more comprehensive protocol any place on the planet. So, if you know someone, then suggest this to them as well. Or you can call Neil at our Vitamin Closet, Monday to Saturday, noon to 8 at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. You're getting the two DVD documentary set on preventing and reversing cancer and all these great doctors telling you about their practices. You're getting Power Foods, the big DVD. It's wonderful to watch and really informative. And you're getting this book, Overcoming Cancer. All that for just a small amount of money. It's not going to cost you much, $78. All right? Thank you. We're out of time. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day.